Coming up on Windows Weekly, Leo's out, but Paul and Mary Jo are here to talk about the new SkyDrive, Woodstock, and the sort of attempt to sell Bing to Facebook. All that and more coming right up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 258, recorded April 26, 2012, now with better remediation.
Windows Weekly is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting gives you big savings and billing clarity for mobile phone service. Try their online savings calculator and save $50 on your device purchase at Ting.com/Windows.
Welcome to Windows Weekly. I'm Ayaz Akhtar, subbing in for Leo Laporte, who's off in Norway, I hear. He was just on a live stream and he was talking about photography and fjords and all kinds of fun stuff. But I'm filling in for in Windows Weekly. Thankfully, of course, we have Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley here. Paul, how's it going?
It's going very well, thank you.
It's going very well. Okay, so that means the show is going to be all puppies and sunshine, right?
You know how people talk about, I need to correct someone on the internet, you know, that kind of thing? I just fixed Windows 8.
You fixed Windows 8. Oh, wow. Okay. This is going to be an epic episode then. Mary Jo, how are you?
I'm good. I did not fix Windows 8, but I'm still good.
Fixing Windows 8 was my idea. That's right. The new t-shirt right there. Let's talk about Windows 8 now. A release preview is coming out in June. They've dropped the whole release candidate concept. Candidate and beta is out. That's just so like last year. Now it's all preview editions. What's going to be different about Windows 8? I want to say release candidate, but it's not release preview. What's going to be different about that compared to the consumer
preview?
But
it is. It really is, isn't it? It really is the release candidate.
Yeah. It's the one that's almost ready.
I have to say, consumer preview, it was kind of okay, you know. But release preview, now that you sort of see where they're going with the names, like, that's okay. That's a good name, you know.
Yeah, but what's different about this version compared to the consumer preview? Is that what it's called, or customer?
It's a release preview. It's like you're not paying attention.
Oh, they just changed that first word before preview. What was I thinking? Clearly, it's this. They have more color schemes.
I have to say, so I think the big thing that's going to be different is being hidden from us. There are some things that we know about. You know, the flatter looking Explorer UI that's coming. There's new color metro, you know, color schemes in Metro. I think there are 25 of them now instead of 8 or whatever in the consumer preview, icons and cursors and all that kind of stuff. But actually, I think the biggest deal that we're going to see in this release is something that nobody has seen yet, which is the apps. I think that the big deal about this release isn't going to be the OS per se, but rather the apps that run on top of it. And by that, I mean, in the consumer preview, we had these app previews that were very, in some cases, they sort of range from really, really terrible to just plain terrible. And they were horribly unfinished and kind of all over the map. And I think that stuff is going to be much further along in this release and is going to give us a much better idea of what it will be like to, to use the final version of the OS.
Mary Jo, have you heard any murmurs of what's going to be different on Windows 8 other than, I guess, the apps? Because that means Windows 8 itself is pretty much baked. It's just the applications that run on top of it that'll be different.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything major feature-wise. But again, you know, like Paul has said before, and I think he just said today too, we don't really know if there are any like features they're going to roll out at the last minute or surprises, because they have managed to keep it really close to the vest. So, you know, there have been those little leaks showing the flatter look and feel and all that. But I will be very surprised if there's any really huge new feature that suddenly appears in release preview. That's just not the way they do Windows anymore.
Should we start any crazy rumors as to what they'll throw out? Maybe the desktop is gone from the x86 version. Maybe just full on third-party applications on the ARM version, which is RT. Any crazy things we want to throw out there? Maybe if Microsoft's listening in June, we would like you to have, I don't know.
This is not the time for crazy stuff. You know, one of the things that's going to be readily apparent to anyone who uses this thing is that after the initial excitement wears out after about 5 minutes, they're going to realize this thing is pretty much what we saw back in February, the last day of February, whenever the consumer preview came out, and that's how it works. You know, that this thing really has, like you said, has been baked for quite a while. And, you know, the stuff that runs on top of Windows can and will change over time. And I think that's, like I said, I think that's going to be the big deal. But the actual core bit, you know, the what we think of as the OS, I don't think anything major is coming at all, actually.
Well, that's...
I wonder if we'll see the, you know, everybody keeps talking about there's a some kind of a tutorial that's going to be part of this, and it's supposed to make it easier for the everyday person. I don't know if that'll be in there yet.
So if it's not in there, there will be a place for it. You're definitely going to see a spot when you set up Windows where that will go. So if it's not there, you'll at least know where it will be. And what form it takes is unclear, you know, whether it's a video or a set of videos. If you go into help right now in the consumer preview, you can find some pretty handy little videos that show you how to use the different interfaces. And it wouldn't surprise me if one or more of those or some future rendition of those made its way into that part of the product.
When you start Windows 8, the new version, it'll just be one giant tile that says, learn how to use Windows 8.
Well,
tiny little things to skip.
This is actually a serious problem for this release because I like Windows 8 and I kind of like the way it does things, but there's no doubt that this is a big change for people. And a lot of the new stuff that you really kind of need to know how to use it very effectively is not easily discoverable. And maybe this has been the case all along with Windows. You know, it's unclear if staring at a blank desktop with a start button was any more clear than staring at a command line in DOS, but you know, you could kind of click around and figure out what was going on. There weren't a lot of hidden things in the UI waiting to bite you. But in Windows 8, I mean, there's corners, and if you have a touch machine, obviously all the edge UIs and so forth, there's a lot going on there, and it's not immediately obvious. Even if you're used to using an iPad, there's a lot more in the way of interaction there. So definitely there's a need for that kind of thing.
I'm just realizing how unfriendly DOS was. I'm just realizing, like, there's no help. I mean, there's a help feature, but it's not like, here's a video, here's a tutorial. It's like, you're going to have to read the
help
book.
Help was awesome at DOS, too, because it would scroll right off the screen.
Yeah, you're like, what? I don't know what I just saw. And then, I guess that just shows.
You had to know how to pipe something in order to prevent it from, you know, scrolling off the screen, which is kind of the opposite of needing help when you think about it.
Anyway, I cut you off, Mary Jo. You were going to say something.
No, that's okay. I said one of our listeners is saying, but what about Media Center? Are they going to update the bits for that by the time of the release preview? Paul, I think, says no on that, right? I haven't heard anything myself.
I honestly believe that what they're doing with Media Center is their implicit way of saying, we're not doing this anymore. And so we're putting it out there for those people who really want it at additional cost because you've asked for it. We have data that shows no one uses it, you know, for the most part. And this is their way of end-of-lifing it. You know, there's a lot of stuff in Windows. You could look at Windows 7 or Windows 8 today and see the weird folder structures that are in there for things that don't exist anymore, like Windows Calendar or, you know, the old Windows Mail app or whatever, where, you know, for backwards compatibility reasons, they can't just get rid of stuff. And I think with Media Center, by pulling it out of the OS, you know, a lot of people might look at that and say, well, you know, that means that maybe they're going to upgrade it more often, you know. I think it's more likely that they're just going to do nothing with it ever again.
Nobody uses it. I'm the nobody who uses Media Center regularly. I actually bought XP Media Center Edition when it was a thing.
Oh, I did too.
I was thrilled with it. I mean, I liked it. It's really stable. It's one of the few ones that doesn't require a monthly fee to get guide data. And I believe you have to have Windows 8 Pro to even install the economically priced version. I forget what actual language they put in the Windows 8 blog, but you have to have Pro, and you have to buy it from the App Store.
So, and by the way, so remember, it's called Pro, not business, right? It's for businesses and enthusiasts. And obviously the people who are interested in Media Center are enthusiasts, you know. And I know it seems cheap of Microsoft to do this, and I'm not justifying it or even say that I necessarily agree with it, but I suppose the argument, the sort of devil's advocate argument, could be that by paying the higher price for Pro before you even pay for this thing, that may help offset whatever support costs that are going to be associated with Media Center. Because let's face it, I mean, ultimately, when you're talking about connecting antennas to a computer and possibly doing cable card and all these other things, it's a fairly complex bit of technology, unfortunately.
It's definitely an opening for another, like a third party to come up with an application for, I guess, the regular version of Windows 8, which is just called Windows 8. But the other thing is the music and videos tiles actually are very, very reminiscent of Xbox 360. So when you actually click it, it does have this very large UI kind of feel. You could be 10 feet back it does have the that 10-foot interface. So I don't know if losing Media Center is necessarily a horrible thing. Maybe you're more likely to use the Xbox or the Microsoft services to buy content instead of DVRing it yourself.
But I think that's exactly right.
You'll have a lot of that same functionality. You'll just be clicking the Netflix app instead of going through Media Center. You won't be going through this UI thing. But so there we go. The two people who are mourning about Media Center, so that's us. So long.
I will get hate mail from both of them.
We hear from those people regularly, and there are
this is really what, when you think about technology, I don't know, advocacy or evangelism or just enthusiasm or whatever. I mean, the Media Center guys are right there because it's so typical, right? It's a relatively small group of people, but they all feel really strongly about it. I don't think there are any casual Media Center users, you know, like the people who use it love it. And there's really only a handful of technologies out there that kind of fall into this category where they love it, they're confused by why no one else uses it, and they sort of evangelize it to other people.
The thing is, when Microsoft added it to Windows 7 and was on every distribution of it, nobody realized it was there because Microsoft didn't make a big deal about it. They're like, yeah, it's in there. You just have to find it. Because I remember I had to explain to my friends, yeah, you have this application. It's built in. Like, I need to download it. It's like, no, it's right there. But we'll see what happens. But the big news this week was the SkyDrive changed, right? It used to be 25 gigabytes for all, and everyone was like, that's cool. But then Microsoft changed the plan to go to a 7 gigabytes for all. If you were a SkyDrive user, you can opt in to the 25 gigabytes. So I used my one file, which is, I believe it's the shared doc we have.
The one file.
The one file I have to opt in to the 25 gigabyte option.
So it sounds like you owe me.
Yes, I do. I definitely, you know, I owe
we
you.
We could figure out how much 25 gigs would cost in a year, and I don't know, maybe.
Well, wait a second. I already had 7 for free, so hang on. That's all wrong.
We'll do some math.
Yeah.
What percentage of 25 is 18?
I'll save 18. So I owe you 18 gigabytes. So
there you go.
And I don't know what the currency exchange is. I think that's like 7,000.
It would be Microsoft points.
Yeah, I was going to say 7,000 Microsoft points, something like that. Yeah. And I think there might be like a little remainder.
You could just buy me a game add-on for Modern Warfare 3. That would be great.
Yeah, probably 2/3 of one. But anyway, we're going way off. SkyDrive changed, and then Google Drive showed up on top of it. So we have a bunch of, we can say to the cloud and have lots of different options. I've been thinking about putting my Dropbox in my SkyDrive and then putting my Google Drive in that conglomeration so I could just break the internet.
You, sir, are a madman.
Yes. What are you guys thinking about the whole SkyDrive changes? I mean, what does this mean? Because there's some pay plans that are different. And what's with the dropping down from 25 to 7?
Well, yeah, that opt-in thing is a good thing to know about because I think they kind of hid that. I think they're hoping some people don't opt in. So you have to go to your SkyDrive page and you should see a banner at the top that says, hey, click here if you already have an account and you want to get the 25 gig free. So I bet they're counting on some people not noticing that.
I like that the SkyDrive business model relies on you not knowing about it. You know,
we got features. We're just not going to tell you they exist.
I mean, God help us if every Windows user actually uses this damn thing. We're screwed.
Well, the other thing is that Microsoft doesn't make it hard to opt in either. I mean, when you go to your SkyDrive page, it's right up there on top, a little banner. It's not like it's a pop-up or like you have to dig down and find anything. So at least they were
But even what you just said is ludicrous, right? When the Microsoft user goes to the SkyDrive page, who's been going to the SkyDrive page? I mean, I have, actually. But I mean, when you think about the 1.whatever billion people out there using Windows, I mean, I don't think any big percentage of people are actually using SkyDrive. Hopefully this changes it because it's getting really good this year.
Now, Microsoft also introduced like desktop apps for OS X and Windows. So I heard the Windows version doesn't work on XP, which has some people upset, which I'm like, why? Why would that matter? But
that should be not surprising to anybody. And when they talked about this months ago, they said it would be Vista 7 and 8. So
Vista. Why would they bother with Vista support?
That's a fair question. I don't know.
Why don't you just draw the line at 7? It's like,
right.
I guess it's a solid. If you bought Vista, I mean, you might as well get another feature. We're sorry about that. Here's a apology
package. It's part of the ultimate extras on Windows Vista.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else?
Yeah, but back to the opt-in thing. There are a lot of people who can't see the banner, haven't found the banner. I've been getting a ton of email about this week, and some people said it must have been limited time. The banner disappeared. They didn't realize they opted in for the 25 gig.
The other thing is, if you had 4 gigabytes already, you were automatically opted in. So if that's another reason why people would see the banner. So I'm sure if they were heavy SkyDrive users, they're like, why, where's my banner? There isn't any. So we
even that itself is crazy, because to have put 20 something gigabytes of stuff into SkyDrive, you really had to go out of your way, because the web-based interface supports drag and drop, but only of individual files, or, well, collection of files, but not of files plus folders, right? So if you wanted to create a folder structure up in there, you had to do it yourself and then manually copy things in. Or you could use a third-party utility like SD Explorer or CloudNet. I think it's called CloudNet, whatever it's called, to access it through the shell, you know, which is very much a power user kind of thing to do. I would be surprised if too many people had a lot of stuff up in there already, but now it will be easier.
Should we go directly and do the Google Drive comparison? Because it's what everybody wants to do. They want to go SkyDrive, change their stuff. Well, but Google Drive's out.
Rather than going through it point by point, I think the important thing to remember here is that if you're a heavy user of Microsoft services and applications and stuff, I mean, you're going to get the best experience with the Microsoft service. There's some stuff that hasn't been turned on in SkyDrive yet that's coming. We know from the Windows Phone 8 leaks that one of the things you're going to be able to put up in SkyDrive is music, and that you'll be able to access that from your phone and from your PCs and all that kind of stuff. That stuff's not there yet. It doesn't mean that you can't copy your music collection over to SkyDrive if you wanted to. You actually could do that. But SkyDrive, if you look at the way it handles folders and folder views, it still only understands documents and then pictures. Those are the two things that it really works natively with at the moment. So that's going to change. But on the Google side, you know, if you're a heavy user of Google services, obviously the G Drive thing makes a lot of sense. I think Dropbox makes the most sense for people who are either using a lot of Apple stuff, because for whatever reason, it seems like a Dropbox really works really well for Macs and iOS devices and so forth, or people who use a lot of different kind of devices where one of these other solutions just isn't available on everything. You know, so for example, right now SkyDrive is not available on Android, but Dropbox is. You know, and it's available on iOS, it's available on Mac and PC and so forth.
Now, is there any rumors of SkyDrive coming to Android? Because I know there's an iOS version for it, but
I think they've said it is coming. Yeah,
well, that's interesting. Right.
They've hinted there, like almost anything that's on iOS, expect it to come to Android. Any kind of Microsoft program. So when you ask about this one, they're like, "Yeah, we know people want it. It's something we're
doing." Also, there's also a very non-subtle difference between SkyDrive mobile apps and what I think of as the applications for Windows and the Mac. And that is this. When you install a SkyDrive app on iOS, on your iPad or your iPhone, or you access SkyDrive through the SkyDrive app on Windows Phone, you're not syncing anything to that device. Because I'm sure the reason is because those devices don't have a lot of storage space. But when you install what Microsoft annoyingly is calling the SkyDrive app on Windows, that thing by default will sync everything from SkyDrive to computer, whether you're ready for it or not. So if you actually purchased a 100 gigabyte plan on SkyDrive and somehow managed to fill it up to a total of 125 gigabytes of stuff, and then you tried to sync that to an Ultrabook, most Ultrabooks have a 128 gig SSD. I don't understand. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't tried it, but it's unclear, I mean, how they're preparing people for this kind of thing or what's going to happen. So the applications, as I think of them, sync everything to the device. But the apps, the mobile apps, don't sync anything. You just get a view in the cloud. So you have to be online to access that.
A lot of these services are starting to seem the same. Like Dropbox, Google Drive, the way SkyDrive works. Didn't Microsoft have something like Live Mesh where things were completely different? Like you had a lot more control?
And by the way, and better. Not just different, but also better. So when the SkyDrive app came out on, I think, Monday, you look at that thing and you realize they're not so much replacing Live Mesh as they are creating their own version of Dropbox. You know, that this thing works, the SkyDrive application for Windows works a lot like Dropbox. And then a day later, Google came out with Google Drive, and that thing was exactly the same kind of thing. It works exactly the same way. They have slightly different storage allotments. You know, I think Dropbox, off the top of my head, offers 2 gigs of free storage, and Google offers 5, and Microsoft now offers 7 or 25 if you already had it. But they both have tiered price points. They both do that thing where you kind of sync it to the computer. They're very much, I would say these two new things are both very much modeled on Dropbox, which is weird because Live Mesh had some really neat stuff to it that I still think is superior to what's happening here with SkyDrive.
You know, Alex was quite upset about this because he was explaining to me Live Mesh. Alex, you want to explain what Live Mesh could do for you that SkyDrive just won't right now?
Well, it's like it was.
Alex in the dark.
Yeah, I'm in the dark. It's. I could have a folder in my documents and sync that with specific computers and not have to just put everything in one folder like Dropbox, which was the big differentiator between SkyDrive and Dropbox, and I missed that.
Well, it was one of the big differentiators.
One of the big differences, right.
The other thing you could do is direct PC to PC sync. So you could sync folders that only were on your PCs but not in the cloud.
Right.
And when you did that, there was no limit as far as the size. You could do as much as you want because you were never taking up space in Microsoft's cloud. That was a big deal. You know, one of the other big things is remote desktop. Live Mesh offers, it's still around, free remote desktop to your other computers as well. So the SkyDrive app enables a kind of a remote fetch feature, which is like a way to browse the file system of another computer through the web, which actually works pretty well. But for that to work, your computer has to be on and the user has to be logged on at the remote computer. Otherwise, you can't access it because it's an app. You know, it's an application that runs under your user account. Live Mesh was more of a service.
It's too bad. I think Microsoft missed an opportunity, by the way. Why 7 gigabytes? Why not 8 gigabytes? Windows 8, 8 gigabytes, right? And next year it could be 9 or 2 years from now because
so I was told, by the way, that they're going to improve this thing this year and that some of the features that people are asking for, they wouldn't be specific, are going to be coming later in the year. And that this is just an initial, I think they're even referred to as a beta release. And
not a preview? It wasn't a preview, it's a beta?
Was it?
I know. I think some of the apps were one and the service was another one of those. One was a preview, one was a beta. It was very confusing. back to Live Mesh, though, because a lot of people asking me, does this mean, this announcement mean Live Mesh is dead? And when you ask Microsoft that question, they will not answer. They just say,
which means it's dead.
I think it means it's dead. It reminds me of Silverlight a little too much again. So what they say is we're incorporating more and more of Live Mesh's DNA into SkyDrive, and that's all we're going to say.
That's messy. But,
yeah, very messy.
There's DNA all over the place.
Making like a chimera. They're just like, this is not a good thing. You're not supposed to be. That goes against like the rules of nature, I think.
You know, taking a Live Mesh out back and shooting it would also get DNA all over the place. I mean, it's just I think you're going to see, I think based on what they told me too, you know, you're going to see some of the stuff that people are asking for from Live Mesh appear in SkyDrive. It's just a question of when and how much of it. I think, for example, just gut check feeling off the top of my head, remote fetch is going to be good enough for most people, and they're not going to do the remote desktop thing. There was kind of a weirdness to remote desktop before, because if you think about the way that the client versions of Windows have been licensed in the past, at least through Windows 7, some of them did not, and actually it's true in Windows 8 too, some of them don't support remote desktop host, right? So you can't technically host a remote desktop session, but through Live Mesh you could. So Live Mesh actually bypassed that for the home versions of Windows. It wasn't as great of an experience from a sort of a visual quality perspective, but it doesn't really matter when you're trying to get to your home computer and just get some files off of there. Just being able to do it was great, and that's something that's normally not possible in, say, you know, the home versions of Windows. And so maybe they're trying to rectify that situation a little bit too. You know, remote fetch is not a remote desktop environment, so it doesn't violate that aspect of the, you know, the licensing agreement for Windows.
You guys think with the SkyDrive push right now that more Windows 8 services will be integrated with SkyDrive? I know the new version of Office will have SkyDrive integration. I know Windows 8 has some, but now that they've decided to bring down the capacity of it, and it's only 7 gigabytes, is it something that we're going to see? Maybe this will tie back into the what is the thing called again? Release Preview Edition.
No,
They published the APIs for SkyDrive this week. They talked about that and how they're making them available not just to Windows developers, but also to Android and iOS developers too. So they're hoping people are going to integrate right into the apps that they build an ability to upload to SkyDrive.
Right.
We'll see
if
people do that.
Yeah, but as far as the core OS goes, no, I don't think you're going to see more than what's there now, which is it's a great phrase, if I can come up with this. I think they call it user experience virtualization. It's essentially the syncing of settings, right? Not just for Metro stuff, but also for some desktop configurations as well. It works really well. Anyone who's used Windows 8 knows that you can sync this stuff from PC to PC, and that's great. You know, there's a SkyDrive app in the Metro environment that enables the file picker that works in any app to browse SkyDrive just like you browse your local file system. So that's neat. And I think that this SkyDrive application for Windows for the desktop provides that same capability. You can copy back and forth, move files into there. You could I've not done this. I suppose you could back up to it or back up from it, you know, using the built-in backup tools and so forth. It's just part of the file system. So I think that's all they were trying to enable. Plus what Mary Jo just mentioned, you know, the API capabilities means that, you know, in the theme of the apps are where all the action is. I mean, apps now can take advantage of SkyDrive as well.
Well, what good are your files if they're infected with all kinds of malware? But there's no problem because Microsoft just released its Security Essentials 4. What's new with Microsoft Security Essentials 4? Is it like, does it have more tile goodness, or does it actually have just updates to the actual
definitions?
No, you're
really looking for the Windows 8 connection there.
No, there is none. I know there is none. I'm just kind of curious about what's new in this version.
This is the number 4 in the name.
4. Okay. That's new.
So we got that going for us.
Okay.
And the last version, confusingly, was 2.x instead of 4.
Okay. Good. So we skipped a 3.
We skipped 3.
3 sucked, though. I will say that. You know, it's just a bad number.
Actually, you know, version 3 is usually where Microsoft gets it right. So we're a little confused by the number.
IE3.
What else is new? Automatic remediation has been improved. That's the only thing they mentioned to me when I asked them what's new since the last version. They said minor bug fixes and better automatic remediation. That is all they said.
That means, in other words, you have malware in your system and what happens to it. So you might quarantine it. You might remove it. It does a better job of handling that automatically rather than prompting the user to do something. You know, it's like, it's scary. There's something wrong with your computer. What do you want to do? I want to do? I thought you're here to protect me. Why don't you do something with it?
Well, it's a good thing. That's a great way to market it. Remediation. It's better. It's like, wait, what is
now
that?
Now with better remediation.
Yeah, you get to see it slapped on the webpage. It's like, I don't know what that means. That means you're going to handle it better. It's like, it's going to make it easier for you to take out this stuff. Is there any other weird things that happen with this? Or should we move on to Woodstock?
Well, it doesn't work with Windows 8.
There's a weird thing.
What's the weird thing? Yeah.
The weird thing is it does not work with Windows 8. This MSE4 doesn't work with the consumer preview at all. And I didn't really realize why, so I asked Paul this week. And this got really confusing. So we already know Windows Defender is going to be built into Windows 8. But the Windows Defender that's built into Windows 8 is not the same Windows Defender that's built into Windows 7. Even though they're both called Windows Defender. Am I explaining this right so far?
It's confusing. Sounds about right for Microsoft.
You got it.
I know. When he was telling me, I was like, what? So one of them, the Windows 7 Defender does not have anti-malware protection. Is that right?
No,
it does have antivirus.
It's the opposite. It does not have antivirus, but it has anti-malware.
But Windows 8 Defender will have both. So you won't need Microsoft Security Essentials because the new Windows Defender, which has the same name as the old Windows Defender, is going to do everything that MSE does. Yeah, I know.
Why?
So actually, let's go back in time because it gets even worse. Microsoft bought a company called Giant Software, which created a product called Giant Anti-Spyware. That is what became Windows Defender. And Microsoft released it as a standalone free product in the Windows XP timeframe. In Windows Vista, Windows Defender was integrated into Windows for the first time. That version of Windows Defender had some awesome functionality back from the Giant days, which allowed you to do things like control which programs ran at startup. And it was a really nice interface. So in Windows 7, of course, they got rid of all that stuff because from Microsoft's standpoint, that stuff had nothing to do with its core mission of malware protection. But they didn't put any of that stuff in anywhere else in the system. They told me that they ran out of time so that a future version would come back. So the version in Windows 7 is actually the lamest version ever of Windows Defender. It was really good in Windows Vista. It got lamer in Windows 7. And now in Windows 8, they've added antivirus. So now it's kind of a full-featured security product. But the stuff that used to be in Windows Defender in Vista is now in the Task Manager in Windows 8. And so now you have this new interface to control what programs run at startup, and that's what's built into the Task Manager. So it's kind of come full circle.
Somebody in the chat room said it's not that hard to figure out what's going on here, right? Like, I'm pretty sure that we can, if we spend enough time talking about this, we can figure out what version of, is what version. But the thing is, Windows is on, like, what, 80, 90% of the desktops out there? And this kind of confusion is going to confuse not just the tech people who are willing to sit there and go, wait, what does this version do? It's the other people, the other, I don't know, 80% who are like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, unfortunately, right. So I left out the part about Microsoft Security Essentials, right? I mean, so in somewhere in this time period, they also created this MSC product, which was antivirus, sorry.
Anti-security?
If you installed it on a Windows system that had Windows Defender, as it would if it was Windows Vista or 7, of course, it replaced Windows Defender because it was basically the Windows Defender user interface plus the functionality that it did, i.e. anti-spyware, plus antivirus. So I suspect if Microsoft Security Essentials 4 is not the last release, that at the very least, what they'll really be doing is just releasing this thing as a standalone product that, you know, Windows 7 users can install going forward. It would be hilarious, by the way, if they renamed that to Windows Defender and made it available.
No. Yes, it would be hilarious. I'm laughing already at this concept.
No, but the real reason for the reason they first came up with Microsoft Security Essentials, it's good to go back and remember this, was because there were so many PCs, especially XP PCs out there, that didn't have any security software on them, and they were infecting other PCs. So I think they're going to keep going with MSC. That would be my guess, but keep it for XP and Windows 7 and Windows Vista.
Yeah.
Because they're going to say, okay, those are the ones that we have to worry about, being infected with botnets, all that. And just hope that we can keep securing those and that Windows 8 and other releases going forward will have Defender built in.
I can't find this right now. I won't even try. But I guarantee you, over 10 years ago, I wrote this editorial where I had visited Microsoft and I complained that these guys just needed to integrate this functionality into Windows, and that what matters is that people who use your product are safe, not that you're propping up this market for add-on security software. You know, that these companies that have kind of latched onto Windows, like those little fish that suck onto the side of sharks and try to grab the tidbits from the kills, you know, that even though they'll complain, even though there are supposedly antitrust implications to this, that really, I think securing computers for the actual customers of the product is should be job one. So it only took them like a decade and a half to get there, but finally it's built in and for free.
Yeah, but you did touch upon the whole antitrust issue, because when Microsoft integrated Internet Explorer so deeply into the OS, the European Union got ticked to, like, take that out, please. And I would imagine they were freaked out, like, look, do we really want to rewrite this OS again, but not having this integrated solution? I mean, it should make sense to have an integrated security system in your operating system, but I can just imagine them being gun-shy after that.
I think two things have changed, though, since those big antitrust cases against Microsoft. I mean, one, the way that we consume computing resources is not completely different, but has certainly evolved. And there are lots of devices now, not just smartphones, but tablets and so forth. So Microsoft, when you sort of think about the general purpose computing market, doesn't really have a monopoly anymore. In fact, depending on how you look at it, they're not really even in first place. But just from a security software standpoint, I think that market has evolved too. And the software that Microsoft is providing is very basic, you know, anti-spyware, anti-malware. If you look at the typical Norton or McAfee or whatever suite, these things offer all kinds of stuff that's not built into Windows 8. So there's still a healthy market for that kind of stuff. And I think PC makers still will bundle it with their PCs, which may be their number one source of income anyway, because that's what helps offset the fact that PCs are a very narrow margin business. And by bundling the software on their computers, they, you know, PC makers could eke out a little bit more money and so forth. So I don't think that the damage to that market can really be proven anymore at this point.
That's a fair point. Before we get to Microsoft's crazy new streaming service, music service, I have a weird sense like that we're going to get interrupted, like a tingling sensation.
like a spidey sense almost?
A spidey sense is tingling of some kind. What's going on?
We'll have more with Iyaz Akhtar and Windows Weekly, Paul and Mary Jo, in just a little bit. But first, can I interrupt and talk a little bit about Ting?
Only if it's cool. Only if it's cool, Leo. If you want to interrupt, it better be cool.
Oh, Ting is so cool.
Oh, good.
Ting is a new service from the folks at Two Cows. When Elliot Noss came to us last year and said, keep it under your hat, I want to tell you about something we're going to do. We want to completely reinvent the cell phone business. I was pretty skeptical at first until he showed me, and now I'm like, wow, this is awesome. How does Ting work? You only pay for what you use, basically. Imagine a cell phone where you only pay for the text messages, the data, the voice minutes that you actually use. You can sign up for Ting right now at ting.com/windows. Take a look at it. They've got great phones, including the Samsung Galaxy S2. It's running on the Sprint network, so it's good, great 4G, great 3G. Sprint. I like Sprint a lot. I've been a big Sprint fan for a while. And here's the beauty. You pick a plan. You can pick a $0 plan if you want, or pick a plan that you think is going to represent your usage. Either way, it doesn't matter because you only pay for what you use. If you pay for more, they'll rebate it to you. If you use more than you paid for, they'll charge you at exactly the same rate. No hideous overcharging, no early termination fees, your month to month. I mean, this is how it ought to be. It's really affordable. In fact, go to ting.com/windows, and you can use their calculator. Compare your existing bill. Get your existing cell phone bill. Compare your existing bill to what it would cost you with Ting. And I guarantee you, you're going to save money. Great customer support. This is one thing Tucows does so well at hover.com and now ting.com. No wait. Never be put on hold from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern time. They've got a blog. They tweet. They've got release notes. They give you... Look, it's run by a bunch of geeks who said, how could we do this better than the other guys are doing it? And I think they've done it. I really do. I want you to take a look. They've even got the Motorola Photon. That's an awesome phone. Ting.com/windows, and you'll save 50% on your device purchase. I'm sorry, $50 on your device purchase. Not 50%. They're not that generous. Ting. Ting. $50, though. That's pretty good. Ting.com/windows. And now back to you, Iaz.
Thank you, time-traveling Leo and space-traveling Leo. I mean, he appeared in his office for like a couple seconds. That was the weird thing. And then he's gone.
It's like he's really here.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And that's, I believe it's ting.com/windows for $50 off. And that is really cool. So I'm glad that when we were interrupted, it was for something awesome. But I don't know if it's as awesome as Woodstock. Not the music festival, but the code name for the new streaming service that's being rumored around that Microsoft's going to be offering. Now, it's... From what I understand, it kind of sounds like it's the Zune Music Pass rebranded, and it works on multiple operating systems. Is that how you guys are understanding it?
You're looking at me, but you got to look at her for this one.
I'll look at you. I'll look over here.
I don't know if it's Zune Music Pass being rebranded or if it's more like a streaming Spotify-like service gets added to what the Zune Music service already is. I think it's the latter.
Now, what the rumor right now is that it's a music streaming service that's going to be introduced at potentially E3, might have Xbox branding, would run on Android, iOS, it would work in a browser. But from what I understand, though, there's no news on whether it would be free or not, or ad supported, or anything like that. So, do you have any indication as to how this would be priced, if it priced at all?
One of my sources who I asked about this week, who couldn't corroborate the code name Woodstock, but did corroborate this was coming, and this was right that it was coming to multiple platforms and probably would debut at E3, said it's going to be ad-supported.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't just buy Spotify.
I know. I thought that, too. I was like, why didn't they just do a deal with Spotify or buy Spotify?
These guys keep like reinventing the horse or whatever, but like, why not just... buy them, you know. Zune Pass is great, but it didn't take off.
No, and you have to go out and renegotiate all these deals again, right? If you're the company building one of these kind of streaming services. So why not work with somebody who's already done the negotiations with the labels? Although Microsoft has two for Zune Pass. I don't know if it's going to replace Zune Pass, though, or if they'll just rebrand Zune Pass and leave that alone and then come out with something.
I don't know. If this is what you're describing, if this is what it is, this will absolutely replace Zune Music Pass. You know, it has to.
Because Zune Music Pass used to allow you to have, what, a 10 download a month thing with unlimited streaming music, but they cut that part out where you can't download the music anymore.
Yes. They lowered the price to $10 a month, unless you grandfathered in,
Right.
You're already in. Yeah.
That's one thing that it would make sense that it would be Zune Music Pass because they've been stripping it down a little bit. So it could be an ad-supported version. But I would think maybe
Zune Music Pass has a web component too, for whatever that's worth. I mean, I don't ever do this, but one of the things you can do is navigate through the catalog up in from the website. And so I suppose if you were on a Mac or if you were on your work PC or whatever, you could actually stream music, not just clips, but actual, you know, full songs and albums and everything. The problem with the service is they never really offered this way where you create a playlist, say, in your Zune PC software, and it's just out in the cloud now. So when I access Zune Music Pass from the Xbox, which you can do, the only thing you can really do from there is load up individual songs or artists or albums or genres or whatever, hit shuffle and go from there. But you don't have this notion of custom playlist or what Spotify offers, which is kind of like radio stations, essentially, that are a Pandora type thing where I like this song, and so I want to have music based on this. You know, and it sounds like what this coming service is more along those lines.
Alex is showing off the Zune.
Yeah, they actually. So if Alex, if you have the moment, if you can do it, play something. I mean, they actually have a nice web-based player. If assuming you're a subscriber,
Alex is a subscriber.
Okay, so you can play in the bottom of the browser. It can break out into a little window that's a web browser window. They do a nice job of it. You know, nobody knows about it. It's like SkyDrive. You know, like they've actually had a pretty decent service there for a little while, but you know, people don't really even know it's there.
And do you think Microsoft went ahead with this without buying another company? The House of the Rising Sun. Without buying another company, do you think Microsoft just thought they could get better deals? Because Spotify had a hard time getting in the United States because the labels didn't want to give them the same kind of rights. Now, Microsoft has had their Zune and music sales system for a long time, so maybe they were able to get a better deal than they thought Spotify could get them?
I wouldn't be surprised by that. Does anyone think that their efforts in the music department have been anything less than half-hearted for the past couple of years? I mean, it doesn't seem like they're really going after this. I think when Zune didn't take off as a platform, you know, when people didn't buy the MP3 players and so forth, I mean, I think interest in this kind of waned. I mean, and this is, you know, the same kind of problem you have with, you know, Windows Media Center, where Microsoft, it seems like these guys are always shooting for the next billion-dollar business rather than shoring up platforms with things that don't have a direct impact on the bottom line, but yet are important to keeping people happy. You know, when you don't have really good podcast support on Windows Phone or whatever, you know, there's a certain segment of the population that gets really disgruntled about that, and maybe they look elsewhere. Even though from Microsoft's perspective, making podcasts work really well on Windows Phone has no direct impact on the platform whatsoever, so they don't bother. You know, and I think this is an area of great short-sightedness for Microsoft, and I wish they would spend more time and effort filling in those holes, you know? And this is music is an area like that.
Well, maybe their biggest problem with the whole thing with Zune is that label Zune. I mean, that never took off. And that's why the rumor is it's going to be rebranded Xbox, because that is a really strong mark that Microsoft has. People think Xbox, they think, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I got that.
You know, Cadillac used to sell a car called a Cimarron or whatever it was, which was basically a Chevy Cavalier. And
the Zune guy. But now he's removed that tattoo.
He's replaced it with a big X, just in case.
I mean, the Xbox logo and branding isn't going to save something necessarily. I mean, that's not always the right approach.
You don't think so?
You know, what's going to be really telling, though, is this Microsoft Music app that is not so great right now in the Windows 8 preview. Yep. But
how that goes, yeah.
Right. If they can get that together, that will be the front end on the PC of what this looks like, of what this new streaming service looks like. And especially on Windows RT. It's still hard to say that. The Windows RT WOA tablets. This is how they're going to deliver music to these. It's going to be through a streaming service. So that app is going to be really key to the acceptance or non-acceptance.
That app, yes. And the ability for it to hit your SkyDrive-based music collection, too, I think, as well, where you don't have to have it on the device and you can stream that if that's what you have. And so then it becomes sort of like iCloud plus Spotify, right? Where it can be your music collection. It can be the Zune Music Pass collection or whatever they're going to call that. Or maybe it could be both, you know, where you could shuffle between them. I mean, those apps are terrible right now, the music and videos apps, but you're right. I mean, there's the opportunity for greatness there. And also the ability to do things like walk around your own home using that thing as a controller, basically, for the Xbox, where you can be browsing a music collection or a videos collection or whatever it is, no matter where it's stored, you know, whether it's in the cloud or somewhere on a local PC or whatever. But it's not playing back through your tablet. It's playing back through your Xbox 360 out of the home theater, you know, nice setup that you have. And then it becomes like a Play 2 type experience, or what in the Apple world they call AirPlay, you know, something like that.
Now, they're also rumored is that there's going to be a lot of Facebook integration. You should be able to share your music and playlists via Facebook. I know Microsoft and Facebook have been friends for a pretty long time. I believe Microsoft owns like 1% of Facebook.
Something like that. Bought them so much,
I think it's 1.6.
1.6%, which is actually going to be a lot of money when Facebook IPOs. I mean, it's already a lot of money. But I wonder if that's going to kind of displease Facebook's other music partners out there, like Spotify, because they rely heavily on Facebook. So I'm kind of curious what kind of like infighting is going to happen if Microsoft's new Woodstock
Facebook
service.
They don't have a exclusive arrangement with anybody. I mean, anyone who thinks any service that thought they, you know, they were thus, you know, streaming music service of Facebook is misguided. I would expect anyone that offers that kind of capability, social network sharing and so forth, to do so through Facebook, of course.
You're just saying Facebook's playing the field. You're saying they just can't make up its mind. It's like, I'll just pick any one of you.
I think it is open to all partners, but especially open to Microsoft. I've never understood that.
I'm not quite sure why that works together. But Microsoft,
they're like BFFs, you know? It's like the gorilla and the kitten. Well, and for some reason, you think the gorilla is going to kill the kitten, but it takes care of the kitten?
Do the gorilla and the kitten have a common enemy named Google? <'Cause I don't...
laughs> Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That completes the picture, yes.
There's that outside company that's just basically making just the weirdest bedfellows there. Also,
and
Microsoft...
The kitten grew up into a very large cat, by the way, too. That's the other part of that story. Wow, we actually pulled up a video of the gorilla and the kitten.
Gorilla and so kitten.
This is the initial negotiations between Microsoft and Facebook.
Yeah, there you go. And there's little Mark Zuckerberg in the crate. And that's Ballmer, I believe. Ballmer the gorilla. There we go.
I was wondering which one you thought was the gorilla and which was the kitten.
Well, when the deal was made, Facebook was absolutely the kitten.
Look at all those kittens.
But then I think the kittens get mutated, horrifically.
Yeah, it turns into gigantic. A saber-toothed tiger or something.
Yeah, they're kind of like when Battle Cat transforms in He-Man. Yes. From Cringer to Battle Cat. It's an extraordinary thing what's happened with those kittens. Then what's going... Oh, wait. For the audio listeners, what you're missing, you definitely download the video because we're looking at a video of gorillas and kittens, and it's an actual live video thing. It's not like it's some kind of animation thing. It's this true story of Microsoft and Facebook.
Oh. Right.
Anyway, back to Microsoft putting a bullet in Zune. Going from kittens, let's talk about bullets. The fact is this Zune Music Pass might be dead. But also Zune, the desktop software, not really working with Windows Phone apps anymore, apparently. So Microsoft took out the ability to download applications from the client software?
On the PC, yeah.
On the PC, right. The Zune client. Yet another confusing naming thing. The Zune client software on the PC. Yep. We're not talking now about the Zune Pass or Zune service. We're talking about that client that you sync with.
So, their version of iTunes.
I mean, how long before they just completely dump that word?
Well, when does Windows Phone 8 come out?
December is the rumor, right? Is that the rumor?
So it's going to be that long.
There we go.
You know, the goal with Windows Phone 8 is for there to be a PC-free experience. We don't have to use the computer. But they will have additional software that you can interact with the device and your PC if you want in order to copy things over USB or whatever. Actually, they didn't say this publicly, but it is not going to be the Zune PC software. It's going to be a new software utility for Windows that does that. It's not going to be Zune. So this is I look at this like this is the beginning of the end for that.
They'll call the software Windows Mobile to confuse more people. No, I'm kidding.
I hope that, they could call it Sync Center.
Or Sync Toy. I used to use Sync Toy, like the little XP thing. What am I looking at? Sync Center. And yeah, there we have the Zune software. It's exciting. Very exciting.
It looks a little different now, but yeah.
Well, that actually looks like the Zune player.
Yeah, so that was the 1.0 software, which was just a reskinned version of Windows Media Player.
I like Media Player. It was extensible. You could add in all kinds of support that it never did. But
yeah, but this one sucked.
Yeah, this one really did suck. Yeah,
there's your problem. Like, we took something really
good. It's like Media Player, but it sucks.
That sounds like a hook. Absolutely. Yep. I like this hook. You know, I've been saying how cool Xbox is, right? It's a great brand. It makes Microsoft lots of money, right? Apparently not. This happened last week. Microsoft announced its earnings. And normally, when I write this stuff up for TNT, I'm like, okay, here's what's going to happen in the earnings. I made a prediction. I'm like, Xbox division will do really well. Apparently, not the case this quarter. What's going on with Microsoft's Xbox and Entertainment and Devices division? It's not Xbox and Entertainment, but that's what everyone calls it.
I think this just caught a ton of people off guard, because when Microsoft reported their earnings last week, right after we finished taping Windows Weekly, they did really well for their Q3, but except for one division, Entertainment and Devices. And the first thing everybody thought, you know, because this is the division that's Xbox and Windows Phone, everybody started blaming Windows Phone and saying, oh, it's because of Windows Phone, that's why they tanked. Everybody said that. And so then I found their 10Q and I said, what did happen? It was lower sales of consoles, the Xbox 360 consoles and the Kinects that tanked them.
So this is like the one time in my life I can honestly say I've been on board with this story from the beginning. Because every quarter for the past 15 quarters or whatever, or 15 months rather, I'm sorry, every month for the last 15 months, Microsoft's been talking about how we're number one. But I'm looking at the numbers for the console sales and I'm like, yeah, you're number one, but it's like a really diminished market, you know. And this is the video game market as a whole has been going downhill for a couple of years now. And it's interesting to me that Microsoft was able to eke out a little extra life with the 360 because of Kinect primarily. But the fact is, I think these things, I think it's a combination of things. It's the current generation of consoles is getting a little long in the tooth. Sales in the other consoles have also dropped off the face of the earth. And I think that the gaming market is changing. You know, that even the previous generation of video game consoles came around, hardcore gamers stuck with the PC at that time. And now I think these dedicated video game consoles in many ways are also kind of relegated to the hardcore part of the market for video games, which is why you see Microsoft, and I think you're going to see Nintendo and Sony as well, pushing the entertainment aspect of it. Because they see that as an area for future growth. Because I think that the actual market for people who will buy dedicated machines that are just for games is going downhill. I don't think it's kind of like the way that the rise of smartphones like the iPhone impacted iPod sales. You know, that these other things kind of did one thing, and now we have this device that does a lot of things, and that's what's going to take off. So it's interesting. I don't usually write full articles about this, but I do a short takes thing every Friday. I've been writing about this in short takes for a long time, and I used to refer to it as Microsoft making lemonade, where they would say, well, yeah, I mean, it's like one-third the size of the market a year ago, but we're still number one, you know? It's like, yeah, okay, I mean, you are number one, but your sales have actually gone down year over year.
I mean, yeah, it says it right in their earnings slide that they showed last week. It says, we're the leading U.S. console maker. We have 42% market share, and our console sales were down 48% year over year. Last year.
That's amazing.
Are they the leading like U.S. based console manufacturer, or are they the leading?
No, they are the leading
market.
Okay, because that'd be a great way to write it. It's like, we're the best. We sell the most consoles for any company that's based in Redmond. That's us.
Yes.
Like that'll be next year's or next quarter's because, I mean, the Xbox, like you were saying, Paul, Xbox has been around, or the 360 has been around for so long at this point. Yeah. But Microsoft's been really, really smart about adding features to it, not just the Kinect, but software updates to the point where you're like, you know what? A lot of people don't even use the thing as a gaming box anymore.
Actually, more than half, apparently. Right.
It's just like, it's really odd because I'm thinking about the original Xbox, and it was pretty much a computer. It's computer parts, hardware parts, and it kind of just skinned it. And so, like, what's making these things more interesting? Applications. So you're making
they are literally apps, yeah.
And making them actual computers.
And Xbox is their entertainment brand, right? It's not their video game brand. You know, I think it's very important to remember that. I mean, video games are just one part of that entertainment world that it exists within. And yes, it's a particularly interactive kind of entertainment, but you know, you turn on your Xbox, you can play video games, you can watch Netflix, you can, rent movies from the Zune Marketplace, whatever. And there's all kinds of stuff going on there. You can chat with Facebook, you can chat on Skype.
A lot of people think now, I've had several people say to me, okay, once those numbers came out, it's obvious they're going to accelerate the Xbox next, and it's going to be this year after all. No, it's not. And they're not doing that. But what they are counting on instead, they're going to keep selling Xbox Live, adding more TV content, adding more video content, music content. And you've got Halo 4 coming in November. So they're going to count on all those things to bail them out, basically, until they do have the next Xbox. But people who are thinking this is going to change the equation, no, it is not.
Yeah, I think adding services is really what Microsoft's going to keep doing. So if they can get revenue streams out of these old consoles, like make this thing just keep paying them out, like 30% off of the apps, or they get whatever they want out of off of like Xbox Live. That's what they want. Like,
don't
not
forget
just a revenue
to,
stream.
They're going to have a huge holiday season. This thing, I'm not saying it's going to turn a profit in its lifetime, but it's turn a corner of sorts. I mean, it's a lot less expensive to make this thing now than it used to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to milk it as long as you can. Like Mary, I think Mary Jo said something about Halo 4. There'll be a new Call of Duty game, you know, other game franchises and so forth. And that will get them through this year. But next year, they're going to have to replace it. I mean, there's no, you know, I don't know what you can't sell a Kinect 2 to people that already own a Kinect. Oh. You know, you're going to need to integrate the next one into the next console.
No, that's why there's 40 different versions of the Xbox. You can get the one that has like skinned like R2-D2, or you can get the one that's got the Halo 4 edition. You can get whatever video games like that actually comes out, the big one. You'll see it just an Xbox skinned. People are like, I might buy it because it's that way. Maybe we'll see an even thinner Xbox just to needle people. Because
actually, there's a rumor that there'll be an Xbox of the next generation that won't even play video games, that it will be the low-end set-top box version of the Xbox, and that maybe it even comes out first. So you know, like essentially
they
their Apple
Microsoft
TV.
Well, they used to have Web TV. That they could do that.
Yep, they had Ultimate TV.
Don't call it that. It's like the Xbox. I mean, it doesn't play any games anymore, but it used
to. The Xbox. You know,
the other reason I think they're not going to have the new Xbox this year. I mean, I think part of it is because it's complex to pull it all off, but I think also, there's a lot of talk about them making the core of the next Xbox be the Windows core, because right now it's not the Windows core. And so if you're Microsoft and you're launching a whole bunch of things with the new Windows core, you're starting with Windows 8, you're going to have Windows Phone 8, which also has the Windows core. You're going to let those two pieces settle first before you add a third big, huge revision of a new product line. And I think that will be what Xbox Next, or whatever Durango, whatever the code name is now, that's what that will be.
That's pretty intelligent. When it comes to the applications, then you write the application once for Windows 8. You can just download it on your Xbox. I mean, just imagine the Netflix app just working on both. That'd be a pretty smart move, because, I mean, what's the rumor is that Windows Phone 8 is going to have the same kernel. Windows 8 is going to be this, like, they're all going to be very similar.
But, you know,
so why not?
Unfortunately, I hate to break into the, you know, we all know how Microsoft really works. You know, there's going to be a music app on the Xbox 360. There's going to be one on Windows 8, and there's going to be one on Windows Phone. And I don't want to say I guarantee you, but knowing what we know about Microsoft, I think it's a given that these things are going to be completely different from each other. You know, they'll be similar, but they're not going to be the same app, right? They'll have different capabilities and stuff. It's annoying, but I that's how I kind of expect that to go.
Oh, you got to rain on the parade there. You're just hoping that when Microsoft finally pulls it all together, it's like, yeah, they have everything branded the same, but nothing works the same.
Actually, I bet they don't even have it all branded the same. But okay, fair enough.
That's right. They dropped the 8 from Windows. Windows on ARM. It's Windows RT. There's no 8. It's not 8.
Yeah. Windows Phone 8 will come out, and we'll still have something called Zune for some reason. You know, they'll do something like that.
They got to support like the 15 people, right? Just because Microsoft doesn't like to tick off its old users or its long-standing users. I'm not talking about the elderly. I'm talking about.
Wow.
I wasn't. I just had to correct that before I get the hate mail.
On Windows, just not to beat the podcast thing to death, but on Windows Phone, they have something called Microsoft Hello.
Microsoft Hello. That's their new phone system.
Speak English here. They have something called Music and Videos, you know, Music plus videos. It's a hub, you know, and it does both. And that's where podcasts are, because podcasts can be videos or audio, right? On Windows 8, there's a music app that doesn't have podcasts in it. And there's a video app that doesn't have video podcasts in it. So where do you get podcasts on Windows 8? Not in the same place you do on Windows Phone. You know, not at all, actually, in the current version. I mean, we'll see if that changes. But I wouldn't be surprised to discover that they're going to rely on third-party apps.
Doesn't the Zune app do that? Podcasts?
So then, it does.
And that's why you keep Zune around.
I don't think they're going to do that. So
I hope not. No.
They need some kind of metro-based interface for that. And that's just one thing. I mean, podcasts are just one part of it, but you can see how different it already is. By splitting music and video into two separate apps, now what do you do? You know, what do you do with podcasts?
Well, Apple did that with their iPod. They changed, it was on iPhone. They changed iPod to music and videos because, I don't know, they wanted to irritate people. Because I used to have an iPod Touch and they did that anyway. But when they did that with the iPhone, people were confused because they split it out and it was, you had to think about
the
content.
The iPod app, yeah.
Right.
Right. You have to do the work, right? It's kind of the opposite of the way computers should work when you think about it.
Yeah, I
get it. Yeah.
Should you just have to, like, just search for everything? Should you Bing everything on your phone?
I hope not.
You hope not. You don't want to search. You don't want to use that.
You know, on iOS, when you go to the search screen by mistake, you go by the first home screen. You always do it by mistake. I don't know anyone who does this. Well, I'm sure there are people who use it, but I don't think I have, other than to test it, I don't think I've ever used that screen for anything. I always hit it by mistake. It's like iOS's version of Media Center. You know?
I end up using it because I end up grabbing my wife's phone and she has things in all kinds of folders that I've never seen before. I'm like, I don't know where you put your, where you put Safari. I know it's not where it's supposed to be. So I can just use that search and go, okay, there it is. But otherwise, like if it's your own device, it's your own personal device, odds are you don't need to search for it. But when it comes to music and videos, I think it should be in one location or heck, even a third app, some kind of like hypervisor thing. It's like, yeah, I know where stuff is. Let's talk about Bing anyway. We're talking about search. Let's talk about Bing. Now, there was a little piece in the New York Times saying that Microsoft was thinking about trying to sell Bing to Facebook because they are BFFs. And you know, Microsoft really wants to, I don't know, unload the – has Bing turned a profit yet? Why would they do that to Facebook? They're BFFs.
Wow, never. I don't think they – have they ever – has online services ever been in the black?
It's only been less unprofitable.
Yeah.
We're doing a search on Bing for Bing profits. And Microsoft on Bing, there it is. We intend to make a profit. When was this? Read, Write, Web. It's in the archives. Loading up back in February 3rd, 2010. The idea was Microsoft intended to make a profit. Okay, very good. That's very important for tax purposes that you intend to make a profit. That's where you can take the losses. But anyways, what's the deal with Microsoft even attempting to sell Bing? I mean, why would Facebook want it? And what was the actual terms around this negotiation?
Okay, so what makes this to me a super interesting story? First, this isn't from some random source. This is from the New York Times. So it's not some made up thing, some blogger who heard it from a blogger from a blogger. This is New York Times heard from a couple people that Microsoft a year ago sent out feelers to Facebook to see if Facebook was interested in acquiring Bing. Meanwhile, while this is all going on, Microsoft and Ballmer especially are saying publicly and repeatedly, Bing is a really key asset for us. We aren't selling it. We're not unloading it. We're keeping it and we're going to stick with it. So here's two things going on. The other interesting part of this Time story is the people who are doing this negotiation supposedly with Facebook didn't tell Steve Ballmer. They were going around behind his back to do it. So this just opens up a whole number of weird things. People are saying this is a sign Steve Ballmer's out. People are negotiating behind his back. This is a sign that they're not really telling you what they're doing with Bing. But then, you know, if you look at where Bing is integrated in Microsoft's product line right now, it's everywhere. It's really deeply integrated into Windows Phone. It's increasingly integrated into the operating system. They're using Bing technologies and big data, which is another key focus for them. So if they suddenly did sell this off to Facebook, I just don't see how they could unravel it from all the things they have, or would they totally trust Facebook to run it for them? And then there's a whole Yahoo complication too. You know, Microsoft's supplying the search results to Yahoo now through Bing. So what happens if they sell Bing to someone else? What happens with that relationship? So it's just a really weird, convoluted picture that I don't know who to believe now. Do you believe Microsoft saying we're never going to sell Bing because it's key? Or do you say, oh, they're secretly shopping Bing around to companies like Facebook? I don't know.
You know, if they got rid of it, the entire company would be profitable.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the idea. If Facebook went ahead with this, it'd be like, great. Now you have to use Facebook Connect to log into Bing to get anything, I would imagine. And the Xbox integration would kind of suck. Because if I don't want it shared all the time when I'm like, you know, Xbox, I'm looking for an episode of Golden Girls. That's right. I said it. What if it shared that automatically on Facebook. What if I didn't want that? I can just see the privacy concerns right away because Microsoft products are everywhere. Bing is in everything, and you don't want everything shared all the time.
That type of thing never happens. What are you talking about?
Oh, I must have lost my mind. I know people aren't worried about privacy concerns, and Facebook's never messed up on that at all.
You want to know when the comeuppance of Facebook is going to happen?
Sure.
Someday, Facebook will silently enable something where you can look and see what people have looked at in your account. And what it will be friends of friends who click through in some posts that you were tagged in, but you're not friends with them, and their stuff's not to be, you know, your stuff's not supposed to be open to them, and but that's how they got in. And it's going to be it's like a Facebook-ageddon is going to happen when people realize what's going on Facebook.
I love the idea that like there was people behind the scenes who were like, "Don't tell Steve, we're going to go over there and go." You know what?
It's like Rome right before the fall.
Or maybe they were like, "We'll make Steve happy. It'll be great. Like, it'll be a surprise. He'll come into the office,
got rid of Bing.
Right? And we'll have like balloons. It'll be like, we'll use all our old Windows. Was it 7 party stuff? We'll just grab it together and be like, yeah, we sold Bing. And he'd be like, oh, great. Huh. What are we
doing?
I thought
we were doing that Bing thing. No.
It's like, we're not doing Bing. Yeah. See, that would be Steve dancing. It's like, yes.
That's either him dancing or having a heart attack, by the way.
Well, that could. Now, wait a second. They did say that they intend to make a profit on Bing. If they sold it, that would be a profit.
I intend to die rich. But, you know, so far the evidence suggests that's not going to happen.
I see.
So,
well, maybe you can buy Bing and turn it around.
There's another little weird component to this whole story. And the idea was they would sell Bing to Facebook because the common thinking is Microsoft really has Bing just to be a thorn in Google's side. And if they gave it to Facebook, this is what the article says. If they gave it to Facebook, that would be even more of a thorn in Google's side than if Microsoft owned it. So
that's
it was like kind of a pawn thing. Yeah, it's just crazy.
It's like we have money to kill, so let's just make Google upset. Let's just poke him with a stick until he scratches his back.
But then they kind of do that with the whole AOL patent deal. They're like, okay, Microsoft, we're gonna buy, here's $1 billion AOL. And then they're like, 2 seconds later, Facebook, here you go. Here's like the majority of it at a huge discount. They seem to kind of like to stick it to Google. If they can't compete with head-to-head products, just screw them. You know, that seems like that's actually on the flag at Redmond. It says just
screw them.
Yeah. That's pretty much it with that. Let's see. Is there anything else about the Bing sale? Well, if you guys want, Bing has not been sold yet.
Nope.
So if you were worried about it,
big news.
If Facebook was powering Yahoo's search engine and Yahoo sued them over patents, that would be fun.
Oh, man. They'd be like, I didn't even think of that one.
It's like, Yahoo is suing Facebook right now over patents. And
now you're suing yourself.
It's like, go ahead. It's like, go ahead. Tell you what, all your results will... Well, actually, I don't know what would be in the best interest of Facebook. They probably still want to serve all the stuff to Facebook. Actually, that would be... It wouldn't cost them any money to search themselves, right? Because
thinking this one through, by the way.
I was just thinking about it because of Google and Facebook's relationship, Google doesn't search Facebook's content the way Bing does because Microsoft pays money for that. Facebook wouldn't have to charge themselves for that. But...
It's a net savings all around is what I'm hearing.
And Bing would be profitable. And the insanity. I've just made it make sense. Good luck, Facebook. Try to buy it if you want. Let's go and ask our listeners for questions. And then I will ask these folks the questions. Okay? And I've asked for some ahead of time. So if you're in the chat room, you're watching live, put in some questions that you have for Paul and Mary Joe. And if they are intelligent, and we will read them out loud. If they're not, I probably will laugh to myself. Let's ask right out, how can I uninstall SkyDrive? Ask somebody.
I don't understand. Does the normal uninstall not work? Is that why we're asking this?
I don't know. Somebody in the chat room who asked that, why would you want to uninstall SkyDrive? I mean, it's right?
You mean the app. So it's just in programs and features. It's where all apps are uninstalled from.
Go to where all the apps are, and there will be the answer.
Called programs and features.
When will Windows 9 be out? Apparently, this person doesn't care about Windows 8.
Well,
let's make a wild guess.
2015, it sounds like.
It's a 2-year cycle?
I think Microsoft should get rid of the version numbers. They should just call it Windows. They should give away free updates for 2 to 3 years and then release a major version every 3 years.
The new Windows? Is that what you're suggesting?
Just Windows.
The just new, Windows.
New Windows.
What version of Windows are you running? Windows.
I'm just running Windows.
Yeah, that's not going to be in like an IT admin hell. What version are you running? Windows. I just could imagine so many cubicle dwellers just and how angry IT people will be.
I'm not saying I have all the world's problems solved. I'm just saying.
Wait, you didn't? I thought that was the agreement, Paul. You were supposed to solve all the world's problems in today's episode.
Actually, what you discover is that when you fix one problem, you cause another. Sorry.
Windows RT doesn't have a version number.
Yep, maybe that's the start of it.
Windows RT 2.
I don't think there's going to be a Windows RT 2.
I think there will be an R2-D2.
Well, there wasn't any reference to 8 in the developer preview either.
No.
If you go to like WinVer, there was no 8 anywhere. There's just Windows developer preview.
This is really disturbing. What's the best way to encrypt data files automatically before uploading to SkyDrive?
Decrypt or encrypt?
Encrypt.
And have them be encrypted in SkyDrive?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know about that. I would assume if you had encrypted files with EFS and you copied them to SkyDrive, they would be decrypted, but I could test that. I'm not actually sure of a way to do that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a real question for Steve Gibson.
Well, I mean, I think what they're really asking, in other words, is if someone were to get through to my SkyDrive collection of files, I wouldn't want them to be able to read them. And I think that's the impetus for this question, I assume.
Yeah, I guess it's just for security. So you're not too worried about if somebody did get access to your files, they couldn't read it.
Yep.
And here's a pretty slam dunk question. Will I be able to buy Windows RT? No.
Yep. Not by itself.
Not directly.
Yeah. On preloaded, yes, on an ARM tablet. But not just go into a store and say, hey, I want Windows RT. No.
Will Nokia with the Lumia line be able to survive? So I guess he's asking about will Nokia survive thanks to Lumia?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, the shortest answers ever.
We sound convinced there.
I'm testing the encryption thing. I can't do two things at once.
Oh, you're actually doing that. Okay. this is another one. Skype for Xbox. Is it coming? I believe so.
Yes, it is coming. There's even a job posting in Microsoft Jobs that says we're advertising for people to work on Skype for Xbox.
I'm more interested in the Skype, the HTML5 app that's supposed to be coming. Skype for web, because I'm tired of downloading Skype, and I would hope the web version is a little bit better. Will Microsoft buy Nokia? Seriously?
No. I say no.
No.
They bought Danger. You saw how that worked out, right? Anybody remember
Danger? I don't think it's that. Once you buy Nokia, you've pretty much admitted that it's not going the way it was supposed to, and you give up, you know?
You alienate your other partners.
Well, right. In other words, the partner model's dead.
Right.
You can't, right now they could make a pretty lame case that, you know, yeah, we have a special relationship with the Nokia, but, you know, you can license it too and everything's fine. But once you're selling it yourself, I mean, who would want to partner with Microsoft at that point?
I could see them, though, bailing out Nokia like they bailed out Apple oh so long ago. And they gave them a big payment to keep them in business, basically. Remember those days? It was a long time ago.
And somebody's actually mentioning the case of the Kin. The Kin did come out. I guess that was a Microsoft product, right? It wasn't branded by any other company. But that OS wasn't available for any other hardware either. So I think that's why it was a limited kind of scenario. And Microsoft does not want to separate out or like fragment its mobile audience any further than they have already. When is IE10 rumored to RTM?
Oh, we just got something about here. This.
Yeah, last week we said summer of 2012. So very soon. I'd say July, August. Same time Windows 8 RTMs. IE 10, I think, will also RTM.
Well, thanks for all the questions, everybody. Let's move on to the picks. Wait.
Encryption.
You're still encrypting. Are you?
So I don't, obviously, I mean, this was obvious to me, but I wanted to just test. Obviously, when you, or I should say, maybe not obviously, but when you encrypt a file in Windows and then copy it up to SkyDrive, it's decrypted, right? As it would be as you copy it off of the thing. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be possible.
So
you're going to have to rely on HTTPS access, it looks like.
And if not, hope no one gets into your account. I'll write it up. You're going to write this up?
I'll look into
this. All right. So now can we move to picks, Paul?
Okay.
I got permission from Paul to talk about picks. Well, I'm not going to be talking about picks. What's the tip of the week today?
So the tip of the week today is understanding the differences between Live Mesh and the SkyDrive app for Windows, because there are actually very important differences. Let me see if I can find my... And of course I can't. I had written an article this week called Cloud Busting, where I kind of compared the online services, SkyDrive, Live Mesh, Google Drive, and Dropbox. And a lot of people are writing me and saying, hey, you know, I'm using Live Mesh now. Clearly I want to switch from this to SkyDrive. And it's like, you might want to hold off for a second. So we already hit on a lot of this stuff, but some of the big differences are Live Mesh supports multiple folders natively very easily. It's very nice. I happen to sync a favorites folder to my pictures library in Windows. I sync various folders to my documents library in Windows. I can determine how those things sync. They can sync up to the cloud as well or not. You know, that's a capability you don't have with the SkyDrive stuff. It's all in SkyDrive by default. And the other one is the thing we talked about earlier, remote desktop. SkyDrive app enables remote fetch, which is nice. Remote desktop is more powerful. And it also allows you to use that PC as if you were sitting there, which means you can very easily hit any network shares at home too. So if you have, this, you know, Live Mesh in this case running on a PC at home, you can remote desktop into that PC and then use its network explorer to go get files off of your home server or some other machine on your network. So I would say for right now, SkyDrive app is very interesting. I think it's going to get better, but it's not a replacement yet for Live Mesh. So just be aware of the differences. And I would say for now, you're probably going to want to use both side by side for the time being.
What if I wanted to use SkyDrive on the go? Is there any software picks for this?
Yes, there are. There are new versions of the SkyDrive app for Windows Phone. So that went to version 2.0 and also for the iPhone. And with that iPhone version being updated, it's now available natively on the iPad, meaning you can get it full screen, not as, you know, if you've ever run an iPhone app on the iPhone or on the iPad, you know, it's like looking at a postage stamp in the middle of the screen. So those apps don't work like the application for Windows, right? They're just a remote view of those files. And when you actually tap on individual files, different things will happen depending on which system you're using and so forth. So, for example, on iOS, surprisingly, because there's a OneNote app, if you tap on OneNote notebook, it just gives you information about the notebook. You don't actually open it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was looking at our Windows Weekly rundown. And it's like, oh, you can't open it, but for photos, it runs fine.
Unbelievably dumb. Yeah. Like, so, you know, PDF files obviously open in the native viewer. If you're running it on Windows Phone, they will open in the native Office mobile apps, which is actually really cool, and I would say probably the desired functionality. These things still have a ways to go. I mean, I think that eventually what you're going to want to do is be able to tap on a file and have it automatically sync between the device and the cloud, where if you edit it, you know, in other words, today you're basically downloading it to the device and then you edit, and where do the, you know, and then when you save, where does it save? Yeah. Saves to the device. So you want to be able, maybe to be able to sync them between the two, but I just, still a pretty major update.
I love clicking the recent docs in Windows Weekly and then it's like, here's your information, because that's what I wanted when I clicked
it's
it.
Absolutely.
I was really curious about the size of it. I wasn't curious about the contents at all.
Yeah. Thanks. And it, by the way, that's true. Even if, and what's weird about that is there's a OneNote mobile app, mm-hmm. right? Why doesn't it open in that app?
I don't know.
Well, it will. I think it will.
Can they
have
just built in a file viewer into this? Because, I mean, Box.net has that. Box.net has a file viewer for PDFs and
yeah. Docs. Well, so, by the way, that is built in, but it's only for certain file types, and one of them is not OneNote.
But, okay, well, Microsoft makes that. They should talk to itself. Just have a nice internal monologue.
It's not clear that these teams even know each other exists, so.
They're just slightly out of phase, right? They're just not. They're in the same plane, but they're out of phase, and they can't talk to each other. Let's talk about the enterprise pick of the week. What do we got?
Yes. It's Exchange 15, and I got it first. Before I talk about Exchange 15 explicitly, I want to say it's really amazing how little information has leaked out about Office 15 Wave. There have been some leaks about the client, but the servers, namely Exchange 15, Link 15, and SharePoint 15, there have been almost no leaks, which is pretty amazing because supposedly thousands of partners have this code under NDA, and you know how partners are. They usually love to chat. But I did get a little bit of information last week about Exchange 15. I've been looking for it for a while. And I've talked to a few people, and this is all not something that Microsoft has said is true or not true. They haven't confirmed or denied any of this. But supposedly, Exchange 15 is going to have an offline mode for Outlook web app. So that would be a pretty big deal. You know, that's something that Google does with Google Docs now in Chrome. You can have offline access for that. And supposedly this is potentially coming with Exchange 15. Now, the one interesting piece of that tip that I got was, so far, supposedly, the offline mode only works with IE10 and not with Safari or Chrome or any other browser. I'm thinking that probably will change at some point, but that's what I'm hearing from my tipsters on that. Also in Exchange 15, another interesting little bit was there's going to be something called team mailboxes enabled, supposedly. Again, I can't say for sure. This is just from tips. And also the whole idea of extensibility, meaning that people will be able to extend the base platform with HTML5 and JavaScript and do things like create something that can open as a full-fledged app inside of an Outlook web app window would be possible. So there's a lot of interesting, very cool features. If even half of these pan out, Exchange 15 is going to be a really big product release. And supposedly the beta of Office 15, the public beta, including these three servers, Exchange, Link, and SharePoint, is coming in June. That's the scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt is June. Does Exchange 15 have a code name? Do we know what it was?
If it does, I don't know what it is.
Probably just Exchange 15. That's.
I think it's just Exchange 15.
That's not good enough to be code name pick of the week, is it?
No.
We have
a really awesome code name pick of the week, and it's related to one of our earlier stories from today. So remember, we were talking about how Microsoft is going to get rid of the Zune client software at some point, probably around the time that Windows Phone 8 launches. Well, I got a tip this week about what the code name is for the replacement for that. And supposedly the replacement code name is Daphne. So think about this. This is kind of cool. Apollo, Daphne, Greek mythology, right? So Apollo's Windows Phone 8. I know, crazy, right? I love these little weird connections. Daphne is supposedly this active sync type service that's going to replace the Zune software client. And Apollo and Daphne, if you look up your Greek mythology or remember your Greek mythology, they were the star-crossed lovers. And the funniest part to me is when Apollo finally managed to get Daphne, she was so mad, she told her dad to turn her into a tree, and she grew bark and rooted in the earth. So I don't know what that means about the Zune client. You can make your own interpretation of what that means, but that supposedly is codenamed Daphne, and we should see it around the time we see Windows Phone 8.
A lot of the folks in the chat room are thinking what I'm thinking. We're thinking Scooby-Doo. So clearly, there will be a Velma. Right. There's Daphne right there. That's exactly what the interface will look like.
It is.
It's like Microsoft Bob reimagined, but with Daphne and an ascot. Exactly. I think that pretty much brings us to a close this week for Windows Weekly. We've caught up the world on the like just everything to do with Windows in like just a short time. That was impressive stuff, guys. Paul, where can people find you on the internet when you're not?
If only
right
there were a way.
Yeah, if there was like, if I had to go to the URL bar and I was like, what would I type? Do I just type in Paul Thurrott? Do I type in Bing?
Chances are, when you do that search, I will in fact be sitting here. But it is winslippersite.com, and I'm also available on Twitter at sign my last name, Thurrott.
Mary Jo Foley, where can we find everything you do? Maybe you talk all about Microsoft somewhere. Where would that be?
Allaboutmicrosoft.com is my blog on ZDNet. And increasingly, you also can find me on news.com on CNET, where I'm writing more these days also, since those two are sister sites. And I am on Twitter as well as Mary Jo Foley, all one word.
Awesome. That means we're done with this episode. Leo should be back. That's exactly what's going to happen. Fred is kind of like Leo in this thing, and Windows Weekly will be Daphne. He'll be back holding it next week at the same time on Thursday. If you didn't get to catch it live, we're live at 11 o'clock on Thursdays at twit.tv. I'm Aya Zaktar. We'll see everybody. Well, you guys will see everybody next week, but Leo will be, in his office. Thanks for watching.